This is Soundside from KUOW. I'm Libby Denkman. For a lot of Seattle baseball fans, Mariners catcher Cal Raleigh's ninth-inning bomb on Friday was a moment we have been waiting for over 20 years.
The 3-2 pitch, swing and a drive! Deep to right field! Stay fair! Holy smokes, he did it! Cal Raleigh with a walk-off home run!
That's Rick Rizz with the call, of course. The Mariners' 21-year playoff drought was the longest in American Major League sports history, and baseball journalist Kate Prusser was there in the locker room for the Friday celebration.
What struck me when I came down was I was like, it's so quiet. And I expected, after the noise of the stadium, I don't know what I was expecting, but it was so quiet. We were just standing there, and there was all this plastic sheeting separating us from the clubhouse. And I was like, take this in. Like, I told myself, you're standing in history right now, so try your best to record every moment. Like, try to stay very, very focused. And then they pulled back the sheeting, and we walked into just maybe one of the most chaotic scenes I've ever been in my life. Just everything was wet. I was wet within like a second of having been in there. Everyone was just hugging, and it was incredible. I don't think I'll ever experience anything like it again in my life. It was a sign of affection, right? Like, the wettest guys were also the most beloved guys. So Scott Service was just, I think Cal Raleigh went through, I think, 3 shirts. Service was constantly drenched. Perry Hill, the infield coach, super beloved coach, just absolutely. And I was worried about him because he's a little older. And I was like, let's make sure that we keep Perry Hill from getting hypothermia, guys. It was just so, so wet.
Perry Hill is 69 years old. He's been coaching in the majors since 1992. By all accounts, he has recovered from his champagne shower on Friday. Kate Prusser is editor-in-chief of Lookout Landing, which is an SB Nation blog, part of Vox Media. Now, diehards in Seattle have been buzzing about these Mariners all year, but there will be a lot of casual fans tuning in for the last few games of the season and looking ahead to the first postseason game on Friday. So I asked Kate to give us the bandwagon fans' Cliff's Notes. What is it about this team that's so exciting?
It seems like a cheat to say Julio Rodriguez, but it's also not a cheat. I've known Julio since he was 17, and I've watched him grow. He's one of the most special people I've ever met, like on a baseball field, off a baseball field. The talent is one thing. The quality of human he is a totally different thing. He is the kindest person, and he cares about everyone in this organization. Julio is like the embodiment of when you give, you get, and he just puts out so many good things. And I feel like the most bandwagon fan can recognize. And I don't even love that term, bandwagon fan, because I don't want to gatekeep. Baseball's for everyone, and it's for all fandom levels. But Julio is a very easy entry point. But moreover, like, what's so exciting about this team in general is they just genuinely really like each other. The Mariners have built a really good culture over years of finding people who fit their program, which is excellence on and off the field. And that was what stood out to me at the locker room celebration, was just they were all happy for themselves, and they were filming themselves and obviously enjoying being part of history. But the amount of love that they were giving each other and showing each other and the celebrating they were doing with each other, that was really a perfect distillation of what this team has been about all year. They have each other's backs. They really care about each other deeply. And we're really lucky to have them.
Kate, when I watched Julio Rodriguez, the just megawatt smile, the rookie that's taking the country by storm, that sweet swing, center fielder. I mean, the parts of my brain that still remember watching Ken Griffey Jr. as a young player are lighting up. Is that a fair comparison? I know that it has been made throughout the year, Ken Griffey Jr. and Julio Rodriguez.
It is, because of the talent level. And it's also, I think, really indicative to the fact that this team, for whatever reason, and I think part of it was scouting, part of it was development, part of it was just poor decision making, has gone this long between generational superstars. And they did have Ichiro, and Ichiro was a generational superstar. So I always feel like I have to mention that, because he's the thorough line between the two. And it's
absolutely,
you know, obviously Julio worships Ichiro, and they have been fast friends because they approach the game in the same way.
And he came back after being out for 10 days with a strained lower back. What are the Mariners fans getting a chance to see now that he's back? You're talking about how he lifts the team. And do you think he'll stay healthy through this postseason?
Well, it's not just Julio, and I'm not concerned about the health particularly. It was just a back issue. They were very, very careful with it. It calmed down within like the first couple days, but he had to serve out the rest of his time on the IL. This team in general is better because it's healthier, and it's not just Julio. It's also Eugenio Suarez, who has been just everything. I admit that I did not have like the highest expectations for him. It's so hard to replace Kyle Seager, who was the cornerstone for years. Just the one consistent thing that Mariners fans had, Seager and Felix, right, while the team was struggling. And Eugenio has been all of that and more. He's provided great defense, great offense, all the home runs. But he is also, I think, very much the beating heart of the team. He started something called the wins meeting. Like after they win, this was actually Carlos Santana's idea, another veteran that they brought on. But Eugenio runs the meeting and he says, you know, he shouts out a player who did really good. If it's him, he'll say, oh, and good job me. I hit two doubles. you know,
I love that.
There's a little moment of celebration. So they really missed Eugenio, not just on the field, but off the field as well. So both those guys coming back will affect this team moving forward into the playoffs, not just the on-field performance, but they're a happier team when both those guys are around.
You know, we saw 8 amazing innings of pitching from Logan Gilbert on Friday and then lights out relief from Matt Brash. Talk to me about the Mariners pitching this season and how deep the bullpen is.
So when the Mariners started their rebuild, I was nervous because pitching is a difficult thing to base your rebuild around. And they spent so many high draft picks on pitching with Logan Gilbert, with George Kirby, Emerson Hancock, who is in our AA system right now. Mariners fans will probably see him next year. Another really exciting arm to watch, young arm to watch out for. So they really prioritized pitching. And it made me nervous because you have a couple of pitchers go down with Tommy John surgery and you lose a year of development immediately. Like, it just can set things back and it can be really catastrophic. It's a little risky. So one thing that I think needs to be praised for the Mariners is their training, because they've been really careful with how they develop these guys, sometimes kind of at the expense of like where these guys might have been on prospect lists. They could have been more highly regarded prospects, but the Mariners were very, very cautious with developing them and building them up in the right way, in a way that kind of made physiological sense and psychological sense, if we're being honest. And they came up and they were ready to take, like, the growth of Logan Gilbert has been incredible. The emergence of George Kirby, and just the way that anchors what I think is one of the best starting pitching rotations in the AL. And then, of course, they go out and they get Luis Castillo, and they make kind of a splashy, risky trade in doing that and giving up 2 really highly regarded prospects, plus some other pieces. So that was a signal to the rest of the league that the Mariners are very much here to win now. I'd put that rotation up against almost anyone. And then they just have this ability to develop a bullpen over and over again. Like, they did it last year. They've done it this year. They've been really good at identifying guys who might not have been successful in other things. Paul Sewald is a great example of that, had a very rough career with the Mets. He came to the Mariners specifically because he was excited about what they were doing in the pitching development. And he was like, make me better. And they did. And it's paid huge dividends, both for him in that he has some career stability, is enjoying success, has been able to settle down here, start a foundation. And then obviously it's paid huge dividends for the Mariners.
Kate, you're at the ballpark right now getting ready to cover a doubleheader against Detroit.
Yeah,
that's going to be a long day. I'm so grateful that you made the time for us and before your hugely long day. You know, we have 3 more games in this season until the first playoff game on Friday. Depending on what happens over the next 72 hours or so, we could be going to Toronto or Cleveland for that game. What should we know about the last part of this season as the Mariners are heading into the playoffs. Anything you'll be watching for or questions you still need answered?
Well, obviously the team's stretch of play of late has not been inspiring. Friday's, you know, thrilling game aside, they've committed some errors. The starting pitching hasn't been as sharp as it has been.
We did have a chance to get a home field advantage for this wild card, at least the first round, and unfortunately we stumbled and aren't able to get that, right? So it has been a little dicey here going into the last few games.
Yeah, it's frustrating because they came very close, and I know that they wanted to do that for the fans, but it just didn't happen. I think the injuries were a big part of that. They did not play well on this road trip. We're at the end of the season. Guys are beat up. Guys are tired. I don't know what the quality of play is going to be like in today's doubleheader, which was kind of thrust upon the team because of the owner's lockout. The season got delayed and things got pushed back. So that's why we're here, having to play a doubleheader. So everything, the old saying in baseball is everything changes in the playoffs. And I would not hold the performance of this team recently against them coming into these playoffs, because I think you're going to see a renewed hunger, a real intensity, and a desire to be able to bring some form of playoff baseball to Seattle.
Do you have a preference to play Toronto or Cleveland in the first round?
The common wisdom is people want to play Cleveland because the AL Central is the weakest of the division. We've played Cleveland really well over the season. Cleveland matches up well with us because they're essentially the same kind of team, but they don't have quite the slugging. So they've got pretty good starting pitching. They've got a really good bullpen. But hitting-wise, they do not have a Julio Rodriguez. They don't quite have the same lineup depth. They don't have the pop in the lineup that the Mariners do. And then also, if they win that series, they can avoid playing the Astros in the next round, whereas if they go to Toronto, they'll have to play the Astros even if they win, which obviously is always a tough matchup for them. But I'm feeling like Tampa Bay is playing some pretty obnoxiously awful baseball right now, and they are not going to leap us for that second wild card spot. It's going to be Toronto, and honestly, you just gotta take what comes, and that's definitely the players' mindset. They're willing to play anyone, anywhere. They don't care. They're excited to be in the playoffs, and they have a ton of confidence, so we should have confidence in them.
All right, Kate, what is your strategy for getting through a doubleheader game, covering it for Lookout Landing? Do you have, like, a hydration regimen? Do you have a bunch of snacks?
Oh, yeah, I've got my Hydro Flask here for water. I've got my reusable cup to hit up the soda machine as often as I can. I've got, I stopped by the Blazing Bagels. I've got granola bars. I'm going to treat myself to a ballpark treat, which I usually don't do while I'm here. So yes, I have been mapping this out. I have the luxury of getting to go take a little like mid-game snack, which the players do not. So it's really the players we should be thinking about today.
Kate Brucer, editor-in-chief of Lookout Landing, an SB Nation blog, a part of Vox Media. We will be watching your coverage, Kate, and all the writers at Lookout Landing. And go M's.
Go Mariners.
We also checked in with a friend of the Soundside show. You may remember him, 9-year-old superfan Edmund Belay. We asked Edmund how it felt to be in the crowd for the playoff-clinching walk-off homer on Friday night.
Crazy. Crazy. Just the fans and the noise, how everybody was, like, so pumped up. And I felt like I cannot describe it. It's too crazy. And just, I loved it, and I just do not know how to say it. I feel super excited, super proud of them, super happy that I got to experience that moment.
And with that wild card spot secured, Seattle's next three games against Detroit will determine whether the M's travel to Toronto to face the Blue Jays or to Cleveland to play the Guardians. Thanks for listening to Soundside. Don't forget you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org or on your favorite podcast app.